People don't pick up hitchhikers.
I know, right?
It could be a Hollywood actor trying something out. That's the worst. I hate when that happens. I'd rather just pick up a legitimate hobo. Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
I have some barnyard news.
Oh, let's hear this. Da-da-da-da-da.
So from time to time, I can't even say we, I like to bring barnyard news in.
What is that? I think I brought it once and then you decided, what an idea.
There's just something interesting to me. Okay, this is from the Wall Street Journal, and that's where it always is. It's like, I bet you there's someone at the Wall Street Journal who's like my doppelganger who's like, I also love barnyard news.
I wonder what Jaquetta
is
looking for today. I hope she likes this.
So the title is, Bingo, Henny the Hen just made her mark on number 16. Game hinging on chicken becomes a big hit at Texas bar.
What? Wait a minute. Explain.
Okay. You remember when we were kids, there was this game that was like chicken licking? And it was like a little mechanical chicken. You don't know what I'm talking about.
No.
You know, it's a little mechanical chicken, okay. And it would play tic-tac-toe with you.
Okay.
Or you could play bingo with it and different kind of games with it.
That's fancy. I never didn't have that.
I guess I was the only child, and they were like, play with this and leave us alone.
Okay.
Right? And stay over there. So it says, it was a typical Sunday evening at Jenny's Little Longhorn Saloon, and Bob G is enjoying his bar's weekly game of bingo. There you go, right to 22. The recipient of the encouragement wasn't a cage number of balls. It was Henny, a brown hen, clucking around on a plywood board with a grid of numbers. So it's bingo with a live chicken. So the chicken pecks at a number.
Oh, and that's the number. All right, I like that. I thought the chicken had to, like, run its own board.
No.
Like, that's really a
you
too
know
complex.
The bingo logo, lingo as well. Run its own board? Are you a bingo player?
No, I just made that up. Is that real?
I think it's a real thing.
Oh, my God.
The sport is known in polite company as chicken poop bingo.
Oh.
But they also have cow chip bingo.
Are we going to talk about poop in every episode now?
Maybe. Poop and beer. I just find it fascinating that, first of all, this is a story, and that, second of all, people are actually doing this. Of course, PETA's pissed off. Human beings can come up with a method of entertainment less thoughtlessly exploitative. A crowded bar or stadium filled with a screaming audience is no proper place for a chicken.
That's right.
That chicken doesn't give a fuck. I grew up with chickens around.
They don't care. As long as they're fed and they can run around a little bit.
There could be an air raid going on. They don't care. It's a chicken.
The stuff that Purdue is doing to the chicken population is worse than that.
Well, they're saying that it's as bad as a factory farm. I don't think so. This chicken,
I think it's a little better.
Does not look like it's going to be vivisected at any point, that no one's going to rip its beak off and try to plump up its little breasts.
Ew.
It just is in a cage, and these rednecks are standing around it, and they're having a good time.
Plump up its little breasts?
Yeah.
No.
I mean, I find it fascinating. In New York, I bet you, if we started a little bar like this of chicken night, we could probably get some people to come in.
I'm sure.
Fantastic.
I'm sure it would be shut down too sweet.
We could do, like, underground chicken bingo. Like, some people have cockfights, but we're not bold enough for that.
Right,
we have chicken bingo.
We're not ratchet enough. As one of our listeners told us, we're not ratchet enough.
We could do cockroach bingo. I'm sure that's been done.
Ew. I mean, you can do that. I'm not.
There are many places in New York where that just happens de facto.
Yeah.
Like, it's not even a bingo game. There's just numbers on the floor, and there's lots of roaches. It's Joe's apartment.
Ew.
Speaking of the indecent, a fan sent this in. This was sent in by Forever Arone. They sent this to us on Twitter. We are on Twitter. You can follow us at Twitter. Hey You Know It. Surprise.
Yeah.
So he sent this, and this might be of interest to you. And because we're using it as a segment, we will send him a shot glass.
Absolutely.
So if you're out there, Forever Arone.
Yeah, send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com and send us your address. We won't keep it on file. We won't share it with anybody.
Yeah, but we will send you a shot glass.
Absolutely. And then we'll throw your address away like it never happened.
Yep, like we never knew you. So this is Clowns Attack KKK Rally in Charlotte, North Carolina.
What?
Now, have you heard about this? This has happened before. So
Clowns Attack, okay.
So basically, a neo-Nazi hate group showed up in North Carolina. They had their rally. They only had 50 supporters. And I'm like, really, Klan? 50 people?
Kind
of. 50 people. So, and they were confronted by hundreds of people dressed as clowns. And the neo-Nazis were outnumbered 5 to 1.
Were they scared?
No, they looked I watched the video.
Okay.
So basically, in my mind, because I grew up
Because I'm scared of clowns. And yeah. And you're scared of the KKK.
And clowns.
Yeah.
Oh,
if
no.
I had seen that, I probably would have peed my pants and just curled up on the ground in the fetal position. Thought about roots and my childhood. So basically, in my experience of seeing Klan members, because I've seen Klan rallies before.
Have you really?
Yeah.
It's terrible.
They usually wear their sheets. And stuff.
I've never even seen one.
These guys, what? One dude.
What, are they still in full sheet and hood? Or did
Well, in this case, there was one guy who was in full sheet and hood, but it was a green satin sheet and hood.
Isn't that like the head guy?
He's I
the green
he's a
dragon
poobah,
or something? Yeah,
but he looked like a queen. It didn't look like Klan. It's just a really nice satin ensemble with a pointed hat.
Oh.
And the rest of the people were just wearing all black. And sunglasses.
What?
So this is where the Klan, like, really?
You can't, they changed their whole outfit.
Yeah, and they just would look like some regular white people with, like, all black on and sunglasses, which is not fair
it's
for
like
white
New
people
York.
Who want to wear that.
Right, New York City, yeah. Walking down the street, that's what you see.
So they were confronted by people, the people who organized it were the Latin American Coalition. They're a community of Latin Americans, immigrants, and allies that promote full and equal participation. And there was also a member of the government was there too, and they dressed like clowns and as
actual
clowns,
circus
like with
clowns.
Noses,
okay, and a
face
wig.
Paint.
Okay,
and as the neo-Nazis shouted "White Power," they responded with "What white flower?" and threw flower in the air, or had white flowers. It's hilarious. So you
That's
have these
really
look
funny.
At these Nazis. They just look like some well-groomed white people. Right?
With lots of shaved...
Yeah, they've shaved their heads, but like, I mean, come on, that's not that distinctive.
But so have many other men. It's just that they look like balding men who
now
have shaved.
Now they've got a shield now that I wasn't aware of with a swastika on it. There's something in the middle. It just looks a mess. It looks boba.
Yeah, it looks like a very... It's they needed to like redo that
then
design.
Then it said the clowns have a sense of who's the real clown.
Yeah.
Which I like, white flower, and there's a picture of a Pillsbury Doughboy.
I like that.
By someone who's clearly not a Klan member. And I like this one, too. History called, they want their racism
right.
back. I mean,
there is
people...
nothing, I mean, that is terribly outdated to be in a Klan.
Here's a
I
guy
think.
Dressed like a banana, and it says, racism isn't appealing. P-E-E. Ling. I mean, this is amazing. I love, like, I hate the Klan as much as the next person, but it's, here's one, a guy with his wife, and his sign says wife power.
Wife power instead of,
and she's dressed like
nice.
A clown.
Very nice. Thank
this
you.
This is the best way. If you see a Klan member and you, I mean, what if these Klan members are scared of clowns? There's got to be at least one Klan member
there has
who
to
is
be.
Just freaked out by clowns.
Most people are. Most people are afraid of clowns.
Yeah.
In fact, you know, like, you know how you realize now McDonald's has done away with Ronald McDonald.
Because of coulrophobia.
Yeah, people are afraid
people are afraid of clowns.
And he's creepy. Mm-hmm. And they took a poll and they realized that they've been phasing him out.
What about Grimace?
I don't know what that is.
That
it's a gumdrop, right?
It's just like an unfortunately shaped gentleman. Is that the same? Is that also McDonald's or is that Burger King? I don't even know.
No, that's McDonald's.
Grimace. What
Grimace,
is it?
Yeah. He's a
waste, nuclear waste. It's like a purple drop.
It's like this is what you look like after eating McDonald's.
And then there
the
was
shape.
That thief, the Hamburglar.
It's
like none of these
that?
Things are around anymore.
What?
Maybe we should have them go after the Klan as well.
Right.
Next Klan rally, we dress up as different characters, maybe Lucky Charms guy.
Right.
It's just, I love this idea. I think it's awesome.
I think that
funny.
Was really funny. Yeah, I like that.
And it's just a shame that, you know, Klan can't even get 50 people together nowadays.
Yeah, thank you for sending it to us.
Yeah. Forever a roan. Always a roan. Thank you, brother.
Yes.
All right,
I got something.
Or at least thank you, picture of a brother. This is our Week in Bateman segment. Jason Bateman is an actor who we respect. Katie has said that he's a celebrity. Katie also said we respected
decent.
Him. He's decent.
He's decent, and we do not love him, and we're not sexually attracted to him.
Not at all. So we like to tell you what he's doing every week, and this
we
week
support
we've got
him,
some nude news. So this one I thought was extremely interesting. This is the piece we've been waiting for. Jason Bateman nude photos. Leaked online.
No.
Yes.
No.
It says here.
How did this happen?
Jason Bateman has reportedly become the latest celebrity to fall victim to apparent leaked nude photos. Highly personal and private photographs from his mobile phone were posted on several celebrity gossip websites yesterday.
Wait, from a what?
Celebrity?
No, from a mobile phone?
Yeah, from a mobile phone.
Oh, God. So somebody submitted them from a mobile phone.
Or they're claiming that someone got into his mobile phone, saw nude pictures that apparently he had taken himself.
Of his... You're kidding. Tell me that he's doing the...
Of his business.
Of his, the phone down his pants.
Now,
routine.
This information came out on November 18th. That's yesterday. And it is confirmed that the story is, in fact, false.
Oh, okay. I can't believe that. But it's still news because it's about
him. It's news. Apparently, he took some photographs of nudes. In a museum.
Oh.
And that's what got leaked out.
Well, he shouldn't be doing that. I don't think you're allowed to take pictures at a museum.
I don't think any part of this story has any legitimacy whatsoever. It says here, nude picture controversy in American magazine. The editor of an American celebrity gossip magazine defended its use of the photo, citing there was a clear public interest in publishing the Jason Bateman pictures in order for the debate around them to be fully informed. That is why we decided to publish all nude photos. So, like, if there's a nude photo, their editorial position is we will publish it.
We don't care, as quoting them.
Yeah, so the nude photos, as you can see here, they're very famous nudes.
Oh, and a puppy.
Yes, and a puppy.
Well, puppies are famous for not wearing any clothes.
Yeah, there's a Roman marble of a nude wounded Gaul, an Egyptian nude doll, and then a convalescent spiny. I mean,
I like how they have the black bars across their private areas.
I didn't know that the crack was now forbidden to be seen.
Crack is often forbidden.
So that is the only Bateman news I could find, is that a fake story about nude photographs.
Did he say anything? Did nobody?
No. And then here are other BS Jason Bateman news. Jason Bateman engaged. This is recent. November 14th. To be a dad, November 16th. Death hoax says Jason Bateman dies at 43.
That's not even funny.
Why is that even a thing?
Well,
everybody. Reese Witherspoon, they had one thing that says you've been stabbed in the face. Like, why is that a hoax? You pull a hoax like kind of like a jackalope.
Yeah.
You know, you take two animals, you sew them together, and then you parade them around the country. You know, in the early part of the last century, you make money off of it. That's a hoax.
Yeah.
But saying that someone is dead, how do you benefit from that?
To see, I guess, how much Twitter traffic they get.
Here's another.
And then be like, haha, see everyone paid attention to what I said.
And then what happens when you have something to say?
Yeah.
Like there's an asteroid coming. They're like, yeah, whatever. And Jason Bateman's dead. Here are some other BS news pieces. Jason Bateman named sexiest actor alive.
Oh,
that's
no.
That's just rude.
No, the sex.
That's a hoax. Jason Bateman secretly married.
But he's outwardly married.
And then Jason Bateman's dog recovering from surgery. So this is a site, I guess, that finds all the BS news. In this case, the BS Jason Bateman news, which is fine. Except for Jason Bateman named sexiest actor alive. That's just mean.
That's just really mean. And also it went
to... he's not sexy.
And it's Channing Tatum this year.
Yes. And it's wrong.
Two different men.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Fantastic, yeah.
Okay. That's great news.
And Bateman news. And that's our week in Bateman.
We are now in Celebrity Corner.
Yeah, we're back in Celebrity Corner, and Katie is going to perform for you what is called the Discount Celebrity.
Yes.
The economy is still in the shitter, people.
It really is.
And Hollywood reflects that, and sometimes when you can't get your A-lister, you just don't have the budget for it, you don't think anyone's going to show up and pay $15 to see somebody in IMAX, you get your discount person, and that's what we're here to give you.
Right, right.
The B-lister, the D-lister, even Billy Zane.
Okay, Lauren G., one of our longtime listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Responded to us when we put out the challenge, who would be the discount for Adrian Brody?
Yeah.
Yeah. And she came up with a discount. So let's start off with our A-lister, who is Adrian Brody.
Yeah. Who we love.
Yeah, we like Adrian Brody. He's very tall. Remember when we talked about...
the height. He had a legitimate height. I just still like him from Hey Brody.
What's Hey Brody?
He was in a Coke commercial where he like comes out of an apartment, probably in Queens where he's from. And then he starts walking on, you know, air and doing a little dance. And I just remember thinking, like, who the fuck is this guy? And why are they like, hey,
when was
Brody?
This
is a long time ago.
This is before he won the Oscar?
I don't know. We'll have to check and see. You're going to tell us.
I'm going to tell you. Anyway, so Adrian Brody, he was born April 14th, 1973.
In Queens.
New York City.
Yeah, borough. All borough people.
Yeah. He is 6'1".
Really?
I know, that's all. This is 1.85 meters. I thought he was taller.
Huh. He's gaunt. He's very
thin.
Oh,
so when you're gaunt, it really makes you taller.
Yeah.
Appear taller.
Yeah.
He's the son of a Hungarian-born photographer and a retired history professor.
Mm-hmm.
And he would accompany his mother on assignments for the Village Voice, where she would take photos. He attended the American Academy of Dramatic Arts. Mm-hmm. He was in A Thin Red Line, The Pianist. I think that's what everybody knows him.
He lost weight for that, right?
He lost a ton of weight for that. Mm-hmm. He played in, and he played a pianist.
The title role.
His trademarks are his elongated nose.
Mm-hmm.
He's also known for his calming voice.
Mm-hmm. I did not know that.
It's not very calming.
I just thought it was just like low.
Right.
I didn't find it calming. I saw him recently in The Village, and I was just like, what, huh?
Yeah.
Speak up.
Yeah, he took that role. He said he didn't want, it was a role that you would take before you got an Oscar.
Mm-hmm. He took it after.
Yeah.
He
was
care.
Like, I don't give an F.
He's got to eat.
He is also known for his intense physical and mental commitment to his roles, which he does.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give him that. Often plays intellectuals or artistic types,
mm-hmm.
and frequently plays characters with a mental illness.
Yes, which is weird. And he also got a little bit of beef on when he went for Predators. He plays a good-looking character, but guess what? It's all acting.
As a child, he was a magician. He was known as the Amazing Adrian.
Mm-hmm.
He was considered for the role in Pearl Harbor that I guess went to...
And they reconsidered it.
Hard.
Yeah.
He was friends with the late Tupac Shakur.
Mm-hmm. I mean, is there any way to verify that? We could kind of say that, too, but whatever. I just find that weird. Mm-hmm. I saw something going around on the internet. I'll see if I can try to find it for a Tumblr. They said, do you ever wonder what Snoop Dogg would look like if he were white?
Right.
It's Adrian Brody.
Oh, my God.
Has anyone ever seen the two of them in the same place at the same time?
When he was in The Pianist, he worked with Roman Polanski.
Okay.
Yeah, he directed it, and he was kind of like, Adrian, I want you to climb up on the roof, go out the window, and hang off the side of the building, and then drop down. And he's like, well, you know, has anybody ever done this? And this is what you're supposed to do as an actor.
Yeah.
You're supposed to go either have the stuntman do it or have the stuntman show you how to do it so
yeah.
you don't hurt yourself.
Well, not when you're working with Roman Polanski.
No, because he said, oh, really? Oh, Hollywood actors, come on, I'll show you. And he scrambled up and did it and jumped down. He said,
Roman Polanski?
Yeah, and then he was 68 years old and he did it.
Then you have to do it. You don't have a choice. If your director is like, look, I want you to do this free fall, you're like, I'm not doing it.
And he did it. He goes, there, somebody did it. Now you'd go do it.
Can you imagine Ridley Scott was like, step aside, Idris Elba. I'm going to do this. I'm going to show you how it goes down.
68-year-old man. And he says, goes on to say about him, he wasn't easy on me ever. He wasn't particularly kind to me, but he wasn't disrespectful.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, I grew. I'm stronger. I'm tougher from Roman.
Lucky you weren't a 13-year-old girl.
No kidding, right? And he says that, in his own words, that the diet plan he followed left him severely hungry, and the emptiness created from physical hunger increased his depth as an actor.
Hmm, that's interesting. I guess it's different for men.
Yeah.
Because all those Hollywood actresses that are throwing up everything they've ever eaten, I don't think they're happy about it. But I'm glad you got something out of it,
right.
Adrian Brody. You're listening to Hey You Know It with Jaquetta Sautmari and
Katie Kazmir.
We're telling you how it is and how it should be.
Okay, so now his discount, who we're going to explore, is John Hawkes.
Now, I know pretty much nothing about this
All
guy.
Right.
I recognize his picture.
Okay, so he, if you don't know who he is, he was Soul Star on the HBO's Deadwood.
Okay.
He was in Teardrop in Winter's Bone.
No, I didn't see that.
And he was nominated for an Oscar.
You know why I didn't watch that movie? The people who I saw reading it on the subway, I didn't like them. Very sad women, a lot of teachers, social workers. I was like, no thanks.
And who would want to watch that anyway? It's all depressing.
I heard it's like just like the worst train wreck ever.
Humanity. He was an American Gangster, Me and You and Everyone We Know,
mm-hmm.
and The Perfect Storm.
I saw both of those. So I think this
guy's... I named three.
Is he a little chameleon-like? Does he look different every time he's doing a film?
I think so.
Was he the lead in You and Me and Everyone We Know?
I don't know. I didn't see that. I saw A Perfect Storm, and he was one of the...
He went early.
The fishermen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I know who this guy is. Wow. All right. Well done, Lauren G. Let's hear some more about this guy.
Right. And let's see. He cites Robert Duvall as the actor he most admires.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
Oh, I didn't tell you how tall he was.
Yeah.
He's 5'10", 1.78 meters. So he's not as tall as Adrian Brody.
Yeah, he might not even be 5'10".
His birthday is September 11th, 1959.
Wow.
Yeah.
So he looks young.
Yeah, he does.
Hmm. Okay.
And his birth name is John Perkins.
All right.
And his parents' names are Patricia and Pete Perkins. So he changed his name, rightfully so.
Yeah.
Let's see. He went hitchhiking around America. And he said that when he did, he would play different characters in the car.
By himself?
Yes.
That's creepy. People don't pick up hitchhikers.
I know, right?
It could be a Hollywood actor trying something out. That's the worst.
You're not a role.
I hate when that happens. I'd rather just pick up a legitimate hobo.
Not a Hollywood actor.
Yeah.
Trying to work out the backstory of his next character.
I love that word hobo. A friend of mine who was a comedian said he was on stage and someone was like, get off stage, you dirty hobo. And he's like, why did you go a hobo? Like, this is 1940. Like, what am I, some guy with like a stick and like my lunch and like a little kerchief? Hobo. Who says that?
Nobody does. That's like that's been out since like the 60s.
Exactly.
Right. So he was in a movie called The Congo. That was one of his first movies with Bruce Campbell, and they were in Costa Rica. And he and Bruce Campbell would just travel around, and then they would find payphones and call in and be like, do you need us yet? Do you need us on the set? And they're like, no, no. So they'd travel for a few more days.
Is that
back.
Congo, the movie with the killer apes?
Yeah.
Wow. This guy just doesn't care. Bruce Campbell. What level of acting are you at? They don't even tell you where you're supposed to be.
I know.
They're calling in like, do you need us? I was like, who is this?
Yeah.
John Hawks.
Get off the line. We're waiting for John Hawks to call. And when he was in Perfect Storm, that's the one with George Clooney and Mark Wahlberg, he said, it was a big deal for me because it was a good part in the Hollywood blockbuster. And yeah, I died, but so did everyone. And
but you died first. he was the black guy in the film, in the horror film. Like, he went right away.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, he died right away because you're like, who is this guy? Who cares? He just washed overboard.
Right. Yeah. So long. But also, he had like a little love interest in the movie. Her name is Rusty Schwimmer, the actress.
Okay.
And they test you in pairs to see for the chemistry or what have you. So they got together beforehand and they rehearsed in a bar themselves and drank.
Mm-hmm.
And
how they got the part.
That's how they got the part together.
They did some kind of bizarre casting couch that didn't involve a director or anyone in casting.
And he said about Mark Wahlberg, I'm not really a fan of his pop music videos that he was doing, but man, what a dedicated, sincere, just really quietly supportive person to those around him.
Why start off with the negative?
Because he's honest. Why not? He's got to get it out of the way and then end on a sweet note.
Yeah. William Fichtner style.
Yeah, and then George Clooney. What a practical joker, you know? Ha ha. The guy
Ew.
In China. Yeah.
You don't like that guy.
Yeah. There's something about like the hot, rich guy, the alpha male who then plays practical jokes.
Yeah, whose mom is famous. Yeah.
Or his aunt.
Oh, whoever.
Yeah.
Whoever. Mom, aunt. You know how it is in Hollywood.
Yeah. He was on Lost and he never really watched it. It was too much television, too many hours.
He didn't have time to watch his own performance.
Now he's also in Lincoln with Daniel Day-Lewis.
Okay.
And he's like, his process wasn't weird to me. I don't have a problem with an actor's preparation because Daniel Day-Lewis really gets into it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I wasn't put off by his intensity. It wasn't weird or silly or obsessive. I think he denies.
I think he was never. Was he actually in a scene with him? Or was he still calling it in from the sidelines? Did you guys need me to come in? Is this the scene where he gets shot? Because I think I'm in the corner of that. He doesn't even know who he is. Daniel Day-Lewis is like, was this guy in the film?
Yeah.
Who is this guy?
Who is he?
Why is he talking about me? Get my people on this.
He says, and then he goes on to say, I don't have actor training myself.
Oh, for the love of sweet.
This is
the discount.
Yeah.
He's discounting himself.
He totally is discounting. I've been accused of being a method actor and not even quite knowing what that is.
By who?
Nobody.
Nobody.
Just made that
Sorry,
up.
Guy.
So he's been in a ton of things, you know, from Dusk Till Dawn,
mm-hmm.
Till There Was You, I Know What You Did Last Summer,
mm-hmm.
Risk Cutters, A Love Story.
He was an Identity?
Yeah.
So basically, in order to see this guy in a movie, there've got to be about 10 other people also in the movie.
Yeah, right. And then he comes on.
Then he comes on.
Yeah, he was in Contagion. The Sessions, that's what he's all about now. And that's where Lauren G.
Yeah.
called him out by saying he was in an iron lung and he played an emaciated character.
So he is really stepping out right now. So whatever his discount was before, it's a little bit less of a discount now because he's been in this iron lung. Although, aside from Lauren G., we don't know of anybody who's even heard of this movie. Lauren G. must be a connoisseur.
Well,
she was at a film festival, right?
Right.
Okay.
But Helen Hunt plays a sex therapist.
Once again.
All right. This guy's in an iron lung and he's a virgin and he wants to have sex. So a hippie priest helps hook him up with a sex therapist who's going to have sex with him.
Who's Helen Hunt?
Yeah. She has. They have six sessions. That's it. Six sessions to get it done.
Sex.
Yeah.
You have six chances to sleep with Helen Hunt.
Right. And she's nude in this movie.
No, thank you. Put her in the iron lung.
And his final quote here is, I don't want to trade what I have to have a lot of money or be a big megastar.
So he's not making any money and he's not a star. What does he have, Helen Hunt?
I like my life as it is. I like my life as it was before Winter's Bone. There's no top of the mountain for me to reach.
Wow.
What is going on with you, John Hawks?
This is like when we Zach Galifianakis thing.
Right.
You know, he was like, these people aren't going to like me. That's the way it is.
Yeah. It's like, if I can't be sort of invisible in a crowd of people, I can't observe human behavior, which is my job. If he becomes famous.
Mm-hmm. If he were in this room right now, people, we wouldn't know.
And then he adds with this some sweetness here. I love this movie. I want people to know about it. I'm happy to be talking to you today, and I'm grateful.
So this is all from one interview.
Yeah.
His one interview ever.
So.
With his publicist.
Right.
All right, nice. So John Hawks.
Okay. So now Adrian Brody, Oscar winner.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
beef and lean.
Right.
He does both sides.
It was trained.
Yeah. Queens. He's a local boy. We like that.
Tupac Shakur.
Yes.
Pal.
Kissed Halle Berry. Bonus.
Without her consent.
Without her consent. Literally stole. What do you do in a situation like that? I just realized I was in a situation like that once. It was very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I was hosting a show.
Oh, no.
Someone got up, a burlesque show, so I guess I was asking for it.
Right,
someone got up on
stage
and decided to plant one on me.
And no!
Because, you know, when you invite people up, you're like, thanks for coming up. And I was like, oh, okay.
Doesn't mean you can't. That's the thing.
Restraining order.
And it happens in business, too. People that are from other countries will often kiss you.
No, this guy didn't kiss me on the cheek.
Oh, no.
That's what I'm saying. He went for an Adrian Brody. Yeah.
That's
and it
terrible.
Was, and you know what? It wouldn't have been so bad had the guy, if it had been Adrian Brody, one thing. But it was more like John Hawks.
So you got the discount.
Yeah. The discount
Smooch.
Plant. So what
Sorry.
Are you saying is, so Adrian Brody is the A-lister, and John Hawks serving him at what discount?
I'm going to say 65%. I was going to give him 60% off, but I threw in another 5% because he talks himself down too much.
Yeah.
So you get what you ask for.
Yeah.
You know, he discounted himself even more.
Yeah.
But we're going to see a lot of good things from him, so.
I hope so, because I'm starting not to like him, frankly. And thank you. Yeah. That was excellent. Thank you, Lauren G.
Yeah, thank you, Lauren G.
No more shot glasses for Lauren G.
Oh, she can have another one. She can have a whole set.
She's going to ambush us with a bottle and the shot glasses as we're leaving the Hey You Know suit. Like, really? Awesome. So since we're talking about celebrities, our Nicolas Cage expert, theorist.
Oh, right. Carlo DiCarlo.
Yeah, our Nicolas Cage theorist sent this in.
He was a guest on our show weeks back.
And we talked all about, it was Nicolas Cage-a-thon.
Yeah.
So this is a little follow-up.
No, he's a theorist, right?
Yeah, theorist, not an expert.
Yes.
He's a theorist. He's got theories about him. It says here from Variety, Nicolas Cage in talks to star in Left Behind reboot.
Wait.
So did you know what these were? I had to look
it up. Left Behind. Yes, I know what they
are. Okay, so break it down for us.
Basically, it is that Christian belief where there is going to be a...
The rapture.
The rapture, where you're going to rise up
all
out of your
Christians
outfits.
All the Christians
float up. But only your body. Not naked. That's the thing. And your clothes are left behind.
Okay.
And you are the chosen ones, and you're going to be sucked up into heaven.
And who's left? Me.
Me and you.
And you.
And our
with
listeners.
With our clothes.
Yeah. And everyone else's clothes and their possessions.
Wait, so people who believe in the rapture, because it can't be all Christians. I'm sure they're saying, like, Orthodox Christians and Coptic, you know, other kinds of Christians.
I think they have a set number of people and that you're chosen.
And they're probably all from the South. Okay, so this set number of people, they float up. They leave behind all their stuff.
All their stuff,
I'm very excited.
But then that means all hell's going to break loose and that there's going to be the battle between good and evil. And if we get trampled by Satan's hoofs.
Who's left? There's no good left. Right?
Well,
all the good is gone.
Jesus sucks them up, right?
Okay.
And then he comes down. And he starts and fights whoever's with the left. Devil. No, he fights the devil. Devil comes up. All hell opens up. And they have the battle between God and the devil.
So when they say all hell breaks loose, they mean here.
Yeah.
In New York.
And in our studio. And so we could be podcasting, and then all of a sudden, the minions of the underworld
just come on
rise
in.
Up, start fighting Jesus and the angels.
Mm-hmm. We record the whole thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so it says here, it's a franchise based on a series of books that have sold more than 65 million copies worldwide. It's the original trilogy launched in 2001, starred Kirk Cameron.
Yes.
But I guess they're not doing that anymore.
Right, right, right.
Now Nicolas Cage is going to be in this.
Oh,
and
God.
I don't know who he's going to play.
Wait a minute. Wait. Did you say Kirk Cameron is...
He was in the original.
Original. So and they're redoing
it, They did the original, and it's like, I guess it was good enough. You know? I guess it just wasn't good enough. So they're rebooting it, and they're going to be doing it with Nicolas Cage. It's going to be... The script is written by the same guy who did Left Behind World at War. He's a veteran stunt coordinator and second unit director from Army of One, which I also...
What is that?
I don't know.
Army of One. That means like yourself against
these
the
are
devil?
Faith. It's a faith-based film market, which I don't know anything about. Like, I've probably seen some of these movies and not gotten it. Like, if I... Personally, you know I love a disaster movie.
Yeah, of course.
If there are... But I'm not particularly down with this whole rapture thing. I don't have an opinion one way or the other on it. But... If there are going to be explosions.
Right.
If all hell is actually going to break loose in a CG madness kind of way, I'm down with it.
Right.
If there are going to be zombies. I don't care if they're eating Christians, non-Christians, people with the clothes on, people without their clothes on. I will see it. And Nicolas Cage.
Nicolas Cage is going to be the one to...
Yes. I guess he's going to be the Antichrist?
Oh.
I don't know. I have no idea.
That would be interesting.
I was raised in Christianity. I don't remember this rapture business. I just started hearing about it a couple years ago. So, yeah.
You know, because when you're a little kid, they don't get into detail because it's scary.
Well, this sounds exciting.
And then you grow up and then you don't even get to that part. And then you hear about it now. You're like, what? The best part of the Bible is.
Well, if I had when I was a kid, instead of reading the Bible, I just could have watched a Left Behind movie.
Yeah.
Maybe I'd still be in the scene. In any case, so that's just a little piece of Nicolas Cage. You'll look out for him as Christ or the Antichrist. I don't know which
one. We don't know what he's going to do, but he's going to have a hairpiece. We can guarantee you that.
And if you didn't like what Kirk Cameron did, people, here's a chance to see it again without Kirk Cameron plus Nicolas Cage. So thank you, Carlo DiCarlo, our Nicolas Cage theorist.
Yes.
If you have any ideas about any theories about this, we'd love to hear them as well. Okay, go. Hit me with that. Hey, You Didn't Know It is a segment that we perform.
We perform.
That we do. It's news of the oblivious living among us.
Right. So this is an article that I found called Gulf Spill Caused by Bad Management.
Really?
Yeah.
The Gulf Spill?
The Gulf Spill in Mexico, the oil spill, BP.
Yeah.
You know, that just ruined
everything
for everybody.
So they're saying it's not actually the fault of the people working there. It's the fault of management.
But after months of study and analysis, the U.S. government panel concluded companies involved in the Gulf of Mexico oil spill made decisions to cut costs and save time that contributed to the disaster.
Really? Y'all didn't know about that?
Hey, you didn't know it?
You think it was the roughnecks who were down there doing the day-to-day work trying not to die?
Yeah.
who set it off?
You didn't know, BP, that not having adequate controls in place to ensure safety?
Yeah. Heard of OSHA.
Would.
OSHA, anybody?
So
why is this a piece of
it?
News? They could
this
have
is
asked...
a piece of news, and then they have the nerve to put a picture of those oil, the oil drills.
The oil wells, and then...
A question mark on top of
one. An alien in front of it with a question mark on its head.
Like, what is that image?
Where did you find this piece of quote-unquote news?
On the internet.
Online.
Yeah.
So it must be true.
Right.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I can't even believe... See, this is the government waste money figuring out things like that.
Right.
You know? Unpopular science and technology.
Oh, right. This is our segment where we...
Yeah, I'm deathly afraid of robots. I like to freak Katie out with robot-related stuff.
Yeah, because she knows technology and I...
Yeah, don't mix. And we all know that the next apocalypse is the robopocalypse.
Right. And so we just want to get used to it and have you, listener, be prepared.
So I found this on the internet. Burger-making robots get backers favoring tools over apps. So many people will look at the assembly line at McDonald's Corporation and see ultra efficiency. Not Helen Zeltman. I see people with jobs, by the way. That's what I see.
But Helen Zeltman's on top of it.
She said robots could knock out tastier burgers faster and for less money. How fast does it need to be?
Well, for the cost of a burger, how much does it cost to make a robot who can make that burger?
Well, here's the thing. Right now, this is what they say, you're limited by what a 16 or 18-year-old fry cook can do.
You know, because how limited a fry cook is when they have to fry.
I've never been a fry cook, but I don't think I could do it. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I bet you these people who are saying this have never been a short order cook.
Okay.
Because it's pretty hardcore. Robots can perform higher complex tasks. You could think about making Five Guys burgers at McDonald's prices or even higher quality burgers at Five Guys prices. So this woman, Zeltman, and her friend, who cares what it is? Oh, Jeremy Conrad, are 28 years old, and they run this company called Lemnis Lab. And what they do is they're funding startups that are figuring out ways to replace people with robots. I feel like it is so, McDonald's work, it's so cheap. And it's a job. Now you're going to eliminate that?
Yeah, right. Like, that's what I'm saying. But it's not even, I'm sure it's a lot of hard work.
But it's still a job.
It's still a job.
It's like a job that where I'm from, it's something that young people do. It's like a job that you can do when you're 15, you're saving up for your car.
Right.
And you go there, you hang out with your friends.
And you're not going to be in it forever, and then you'll develop and move on to something else. It's not something that you develop an expensive robot to do. It's kind
of there's been a lot of this going on. There's that sushi-making robot. There's a noodle-making robot. So these guys only fund startups that are going to make hardware, also known as robots, to replace people.
All right.
Anyway, my point is I'm a little freaked out by this. Because I feel like some things, even if it can be done faster by a machine, like, what's wrong?
Why?
Like,
why
I don't want to go to a diner and have my French, challah French toast made by a robot.
Right, right. Like, or brought to you by a
or
robot.
Or brought to me by a robot.
After that waitress that we had.
But there's all,
at that restaurant.
To the same restaurant after our podcast every time we record. And no matter where we sit in this restaurant, and it's quite big, we get the same crappy waitress.
Every time, who's like, brings us something that we did not order.
Yeah. And then before the podcast today, I met with a friend and I sat down at the table and the waitress and I were like, you. I'm like, just bring me my whatever you want.
Yeah,
you bring me what you want.
You pick something and I'll eat it. How's that?
So the people who started this, Zeltman and Conrad, they became friends while studying at MIT. And then they both took jobs that involved identifying talent. One worked for the Arizona Diamondbacks on software for analyzing players. And the other one worked in the Air Force to help detect missiles and shoot them down. So these people don't give a shit about people.
No,
basically.
Not at all.
They don't care. They would like to eliminate everyone they possibly can.
Kind of people that say human error.
Ugh. Yeah. Ugh. Like, and it's like, is it really that? I've never been in a fast food restaurant where I thought, you know what? If only there were robots here. I mean, you know, like.
And then what happens? Okay, now here's the future where robots are doing everything.
And those people are unemployed.
But not only that, then something goes wrong and you want to talk to a human.
And you can't.
You cannot.
Maybe we can talk to Zeltman and Conrad about it. It's just so bizarre to me. There are so many problems that technology can solve. That burger issue
is not one of them.
That's
a
profit motive.
Right.
There's never been a problem in America finding a fry cook.
So thumbs down to the burger making robot.
Yeah, if I refuse, I'm going to be a Luddite. I refuse, hereby refuse as a Hey You Know It person, to never patronize a restaurant with a robot.
Right.
I see a robot touching my food, I'm not going to touch my food.
Right.
That's all I have to say about it. It's freaky to me. Pretty soon they'll be having robots doing this podcast.
That's right.
And we'll be out of a job.
I know, right.
Robocast? Hey, you know it.
So thank you for listening to Hey, You Know It. Follow us on Twitter.
Fuck it. Don't follow us.
Follow us on Tumblr. And hey, we're on Stitcher Radio. Why don't you tell your friends with cars? Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com. And if you go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review, we will read it on the air and you will qualify for a shot glass.
Yes. Qualify. There's other things you have to do.
Yeah.
So don't get uppity about it.
That's right. Standing by.
If Jason Bateman had been in Magic Mike, he should be in the sequel.
Oh,
Magic Jack, the one we talked about. with Dallas, where's Matthew McConaughey?
It's just Matthew
show.
McConaughey.
Yeah, and Jason Bateman in Magic Jack.
What would Jason Bateman be? Would he be like the older man that now is stripping?
I think he'd be the guy who was like just selling tickets in the front and they were like, someone turned an ankle. You gotta go on. And he's like, I don't wanna go. And he's like, you've seen the show a million times. You know all the moves.
And you've got that blue shirt on.
Yeah, and he comes out like with a small top hat over his business.
Yeah.
And tries to play it off that way. But then he steals the show.
Yeah.
And then Matthew McConaughey gets angry, tries to poison him, it's a whole thing.
Oh, right.
Half shirts are involved.